Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence among us today, whether you are joining us in person or online. We have just a few announcements this morning. This evening from 6 to 8 is our Silly Trunk or Treat Halloween party, and we are really excited. We've got more trunks than we've ever had. And so please come out tonight from 6 to 8 for trunk or treat, for like a hayride, for a hot dog roast and some s'mores. We'd love to have you. This afternoon at 3 o'clock is handbell practice. Tomorrow night, Lutheran men meet at 6:30. And just a reminder that next Sunday is Reformation Day, and we will be celebrating the baptism of Kate Cecil. Last Sunday, I mentioned that our local chapter for Meals on Wheels is in desperate need of folks to deliver meals. All they're asking is for 4 or 5 hours one day a month to take on a route where you would drop off meals. It means so much to the folks that need these meals. And so if you are interested, we have flyers back in the narthex for that. And it is possible that if this isn't something you wanted to do alone, you grab a buddy and the two of you take on a route together. In two Sundays, it is All Saints Sunday. We've got these flyers also back by the door. And since we were not able to gather last year together in person on All Saints Day, we are honoring this year everyone who has died since November of 2019, so for the last 2 years. We've already got all of our members on our list of folks to honor and remember, but if you have any friends or family that you would like to remember on this day, we will say their name aloud. We will ring a bell in their honor and light a candle in their honor. So please submit this to me, to Latifa, with their name, birth date, and death date. And Myra has asked me to let all of you know that she is not currently using her landline right now. She's only using her cell phone. So if any of you have been trying to call her and have been worried because you can't get a hold of her, that's why. And if you'd like her cell phone number, please see me and I can give that to you. We have a few birthdays this week. Scott Curry, Jim Horn, Holly Curry, and today is Crystal Ferguson's birthday. Happy birthday. And we do not have any anniversaries this week. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. We gather together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name, amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, Let us pray to the Lord.
Let us pray. Eternal light, shine in our hearts. Eternal wisdom, scatter the darkness of our ignorance. Eternal compassion, have mercy on us. Turn us to seek your face and enable us to reflect your goodness. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together, a great company. They shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path, in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. The word of the Lord. The psalm for today is Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. This among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are glad to be. Restore our fortunes, O Lord. Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. And those who go out weeping and carrying the seed will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves. The second reading is from the 7th chapter of Hebrews. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted among the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he has no need to offer sacrifices day after day. For his own sins and for those of the people, this he did once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests those who are subject to weakness, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. The word of the Lord.
According to Mark, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. They came to Jericho, and Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like to invite the children up for a children's message. Hi, Kate. Hi, Cameron. Kaylee, Isabel, Gracie, Gavin, Sawyer, Calvin. Oh, is there enough room for us all here? Let's see. Can you tell me your name? Camden. Camden, I'm so glad to meet you. I've heard so much about you from your grandma. Thanks for being here today. And Kaylee, did I get everybody? I think so. Good morning, everyone. I want to tell you something kind of interesting slash funny about the gospel lesson I just read. In the Bible, in the verses, it said, it introduced the man saying, "Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus." So Timaeus was Bartimaeus's dad. But Bartimaeus means in Hebrew, bar means from, and Timaeus means Timaeus. So if we were reading the Bible in Hebrew, you know what it would say? Son of Timaeus, son of Timaeus. Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus, and then the Bible says right after, son of Timaeus. So it would say, daughter of Eddie, daughter of Eddie. Son of Keith, son of Keith. Son of Andy, son of Andy. I just thought that was kind of funny. But in the Bible, I know, I have a weird sense of humor, right? In the Bible, names are really, really important. And so I thought we could talk about one name that we all share and one name that next Sunday Kate is going to get when she's baptized. And that name is Child of God. When we all come to the font and we are baptized, we get a new last name. So our names are no longer Anna Carter or Isabel Heitman or Cameron Cecil. Our names become Anna, child of God, Sawyer, child of God, Cameron, or Calvin, son of God, child of God, Cameron, child of God. We all get this new name when we're baptized, and like our first names, these names stay with us forever and ever. And our names tell us something about who we are, right? It's part of our identity. So we become God's children, And our name, Child of God, reminds us of that. So our names are Kaylee, Child of God. And your name will be Kate, Child of God. Cameron, Child of God. Camden, Child of God. Isabel, Child of God. Sawyer, Child of God. Calvin, Child of God. Gracie, Child of God. Gavin, Child of God. So I hope we can always remember to remind ourselves that that is our true, true name, Child of God. Let us pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. And thank you for baptism. Thank you that you adopt us as your children, and that our name changes forever. Help us to always remember that we are your children, and you love us more than we can imagine. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming up, everybody. It's not easy to get back up, is it? Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As many of you have figured out by this point in time, I love fall. Autumn is my favorite season. There are so many things that I love about it. First and foremost, the cooler temperatures. I love the flavors of fall. I love layering up. I even love that it gets darker a little bit earlier because it makes me feel cozy and like I can hunker down at home and read a book or just be lazy for a little bit in the evenings. I love the crunchy leaves under my feet and the changing colors outside. But although the colors are changing outside in nature around us, the leaves are changing from greens into yellows and oranges and reds. We're going to stay green for a little bit longer here in the sanctuary, because for just a few more weeks, we remain in ordinary time. You know, we have a different calendar in the church, and the church calendar, the longest season is ordinary time. It carries us all the way from Pentecost to Advent. And we're getting to Advent. We're closer than we were. But we've got just a few more weeks left of ordinary time. The reason that green is the color for ordinary season is because it symbolizes the growth in discipleship and faith that God desires for us. So before we change seasons inside, we still have a little bit more growing that God has for us to do in ordinary time. And in today's gospel lesson, we have a wonderful example in Bartimaeus of what growing in discipleship and faith can look like. Jesus, his disciples, and the crowd, a large crowd, were leaving Jericho. And there was a blind beggar sitting on the side of the road. There are several details indicated in these few words that we can easily pass over, both in English and in 21st century America. Bartimaeus was blind, which meant at that time he would have been an outcast, because back then people understood blindness to be a result of sin. And because he was an outcast, he would have been cast out of his family, out of society, and he literally would have had no way to support himself. So he was a beggar. He would have been the poorest of the poor in Jesus' day. And so here we encounter him on the margins of the margins, outside the city, outside of the road, an outsider, if there ever was one. When Bartimaeus learned that it was Jesus walking by, he cried out to Jesus for mercy. And what happened next? The crowd, and possibly some of the disciples, ordered him to be quiet. The Greek is a little bit stronger here. The Greek word used for silencing is rebuked. So the crowd rebuked this man for crying out to Jesus for mercy. Perhaps they, like many of us, have often thought when we've seen someone begging, that it's their own fault that they are in their situation, or that they did something to deserve their predicament. Well, not only are we in the crowd wrong for thinking in this way, but it shows how little the crowd and the disciples actually knew about Jesus. Because Jesus loves the folks on the margins. Jesus loves the outsiders. He loves the outcasts. He doesn't condemn or judge them. He doesn't ask what they did to get to where they are. No, he calls them to himself, and he loves them, and he shows them grace and compassion and mercy. No questions asked. So Jesus had the crowd call Bartimaeus to him. And this is also an interesting detail. Instead of Jesus calling the man to him, like we've seen in other stories, Jesus asks the ones who silenced the man to call Bartimaeus to him. He involves them and reverses the silencing that they were trying to do. And then we get to my favorite part of the story. Bartimaeus threw off his cloak and he literally sprang up and went to Jesus, who healed him and restored him to wholeness and community. And although Jesus told Bartimaeus to go on his way, Bartimaeus ended up following Jesus on Jesus's way, which took him to Jerusalem and to the cross. Now, Bartimaeus throwing off his cloak isn't as simple as it sounds. For him, it wasn't an aesthetic garment. For this blind beggar, it was the only thing that he had to keep himself warm in hostile weather conditions. It was the only thing he had to lay on and cover himself with when he slept. So he literally left behind the only item of value that he owned to follow Jesus. Jesus transformed Bartimaeus from a blind beggar into a disciple. On Martin Luther's deathbed, his last words were, "We are beggars." This is true. He wrote it down on a piece of paper, and I actually have a cast of his hand at the time of his death that shows he was still holding a pen. We are beggars. This is true. We might think that we are better than others based on where we live, our possessions, our successes. But in God's eyes, none of that matters. Because the truth is, when it comes to our relationship with God, we are all beggars. There is nothing that we or anyone can do or say or not do or not say to make God love us any less. There's nothing that we or anyone can do or give to God to earn our salvation. There's nothing that we or anyone can do or give to get God to do what we want God to do, or to make God have mercy on us. Because our relationship with God is not transactional. We can't earn our way into relationship with God with our possessions. We can't bribe God with a hefty tithe or a substantial donation to a charity. An impressive resume doesn't earn any points with God. Our relationship with God is not dependent on anything we do or say or don't do or don't say. It is dependent on who God is and what God has done and what God is doing. All that we have and all of who we are is a gift from God. Our very selves, the air we breathe, the gift of salvation and faith, God's forgiveness and grace and mercy. It is all gift from God. Bartimaeus didn't do anything to earn Jesus' mercy, but he did have a remarkable and faithful response to Jesus, to who Jesus is and to what Jesus did. In response to the mercy of Christ, Bartimaeus left behind all he had and followed Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the grace and mercy of Jesus still has the power to transform us beggars into faithful disciples. May we, like Bartimaeus, may we jump at the chance to encounter Christ, knowing that he hears our cries for mercy. And may we, in response to who God is and to all that God has done, follow Jesus with all that we have and with all of who we are. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Set free from sin and death, and nourished by the word of truth, we join in prayer for all of God's creation. Risen One, we give you thanks for congregations and ministries throughout the world that serve as centers of prayer and action. Empower missionaries, teachers, healers, evangelists, and all who are sent to share your song of joy. Hear us, O God. Holy One, we give you thanks for generous land that produces abundant harvest. Strengthen and protect all souls, from rooftop gardens to prairie farmlands, to patio planters, to fertile valleys, and bless all who lovingly tend them. Hear us, O God. Ruling One, we give you thanks for leaders of nations who work to build up the common good. Strengthen efforts of reconciliation among all nations, that peace extends in every direction. Hear us, O God. Healing One, we give you thanks for all who labor for the health of others. Comfort and strengthen all who struggle with chronic pain. Send healing relief to all who are sick or grieving, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, the family of Harold and Jimmy Beck, Gary and Judy, Bill, Raven and Tim, Crystal, the family of Edalie Conrad, Duty, James, and our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God. Providing One, we give you thanks for all who provide for others. Inspire generosity in your people so that we carry out the work of making disciples of all nations. Hear us, O God. Living One, we give you thanks for the saints who have increased our faith. Give us courage to follow and hope until you gather us all around your table of abundance. Hear us, O God.
Confident that you hear us, O God, we boldly place our prayers into your hands. Through Jesus Christ, our truth and life. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you.
Jesus, bread of life, you have set the table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, and with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. And merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us with this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us state our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving actions to the needy world. Go in peace, share the good news.